right across, you grew up across the street from the house I live in now, which was pretty funny kind of coincidence. But it was such a great ride with you and your dad, and doing all those things you do when you go to concerts, kind of listening to the records, kind of getting excited about the show. And it was just so neat because I can't imagine ever going to a spiritualized show with my dad. So I thought it was cool that your dad was going to a spiritualized show.
That whole Hideki clan is just cool. It doesn't matter which one it is, to be brutally honest. I've met most of them. Dylan's kind of lucked out with having that family. So
true.
Yeah, but the music duo of you guys of hanging out and being friends and Tom, just to touch upon, you know, talking about music and enjoying similar styles of music and talking about the whole thing. What point did you guys even consider, you know what, let's just take this and let's do a radio show and talk about music?
Yeah, so I mean, we, like most people, we just started chatting music, and that was it. Just music. Obviously, Dill's been in tons of bands, plays locally all the time. You know, I was doing a bit of DJing here, and if I wasn't DJing somewhere, I was sitting in my house just listening to records. So we both had that same really strong, you know, I don't want to use the word addiction, but, you know, passion for music.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, Dill, you know what, one time would be really great. Maybe we can do a little podcast. I don't know. I don't really have an idea other than me and you chatting, and maybe someone else will be interested. And the next day I'm working and I get a phone call. Yeah, I got us a radio show. which really sums up the Dill or Dylan it like so well. Like, it was just so immediate. Done. Got it. Like, okay.
All right. I guess we're doing this then. Yeah.
Right. Where I'm a little bit more of a procrastinator, as Dill knows quite well and probably is really frustrated with many times. But he called me the next day and it's like, all right, we got one.
Okay. Well, that was nice of him, but how did the training go about for you, Tom? Because were you ever in a... Because I remember Dill used to do a show at CFMU years ago. Did you not, Dill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Big Fish Radio on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, so you had like a rough idea what, you know, because I always say this to everybody, you know, you can mix bands and everything and you can push the faders and you have to listen and have an active ear, but you also have to speak and participate while all of this stuff is going on, right? So you had a bit of a rough idea how to do it. But Tom, how did you, were you just thrown right in the fire with Dill, or did he do his own show for a bit?
No, so I had a minimal experience, I think, in like 2002 on Ryerson Radio. I think it was 88.1, or it was, I forget the Ryerson's old radio station, maybe 2002, had a small show. But yeah, no, Dill really showed me the ropes again of how to actually try to somewhat operate that board. And, you know, sure enough, I failed a few times, and out of the studio and be calling him, Dill, I can't turn this thing off or this and that. But
that's my favorite.
Teacher, so.
Yeah, that is my favorite when I get to hear that. There have been some shows when Pure Face started out, and those are my favorite moments is when I get to hear Dill go, I think we're on. Yeah, because, and you know, I laugh at that stuff because I'm not making fun of you, Dill. It's just that we all do that. You know, the first time we're getting back in behind something, you're kind of like going, all right, yeah, everything's going cool. And then all of a sudden it's just like, wait a minute, I think we're on. How do I know I'm on? I don't, what? And then you start talking and it's like, yeah, that's all going over the air. That's priceless.
Yeah, it's great. And I think we, as humans, we all learn from doing.
But that's right, man.
Doing. So it only took Tom, like, I think two shows to, like, I would sit on the other side, you know, not to be maudlin about the booth of the Hawk, but it's just being on the, just being across the mic from each other and across the room. And it was just, there's kind of an easy spot in and then the control area. So,
yeah.
So, you know, but Tom really, you know, to his credit, he, yeah, I just said, okay, go for it. You know,
do it, man.
There's channel one. There's channel two. There's the computers. So
yeah,
we have a splitter that goes a very famous splitter that goes in between our computers, and we just took turns back and forth. And
yeah,
just blasted music, dance. Like, I remember, like, you think that some radio DJs get used to it and they're kind of, you know, it's a bit passe or a bit bored of it after a while. They're kind of folding it in, but you know, when Tom and I are in the station and the song comes on, usually like within an hour in the 2 hour show, there's a lot of air guitar, air drumming, standing up, like sometimes dancing, like there's, why not?
No, I totally agree with that. That's why I'm kind of curious when people are going to, start putting more cameras in the studio just to see how what DJs do. Because some DJs, like you just said, they'll phone it in, they'll just play the music and they'll sit there and then check out who's on Facebook. You know, I listen to the music. Like, you know, like when there's air guitar and air drums, I'm doing it. You know, so I get caught up just like the listener. And of course, we all know at the Hawk, it's surrounded by glass and people walking by.
Yeah.
So I think all
you know,
of,
to,
go ahead.
I was going to say to Dill's point about just getting excited about music, that, you know, we have very similar tastes in some sense, but also we really know a lot of things about very different music from each other. So we were constantly enjoying and learning right. from the other person what they're playing, because a lot of the songs that Dill played that maybe other people know, I don't know what it is, and I'm loving hearing it for the first time, because, you know, we all love music, but there's, you know, we all don't know everything about music either. So well, I like to learn from someone that has other interests.
That's great when there's like two or three people bringing in music, because you do start, and that's a great point, Tom. You do start to learn. That's how I learn, when someone says, "Here, dummy, this is what I've been listening to, and you will really like this." And even if you don't like it, you will know about it now. So that's where I think it's great that, you know, college radio does that. You know, and Pure Phase does that quite a bit. There's always like new music and a smitten of favorites that from each generation that you guys spin. But you guys have also transitioned, I think, quite well into the interviewing aspect of doing radio. And that's because of your passion towards music and the knowledge that you had. And you've had on some pretty interesting guests.
Yeah, well, we had a couple of guests come into the station, and that was always fun. And just to touch upon the point we already said about enjoying the time in the room, you know, I think one of the reasons why our show works, why we enjoy doing it and still go up and do it and want to, is because there is two of us. You know, when it's just, I think I give a lot more credit to the DJs that are solo, that are, mm-hmm. it's kind of a lonely existence, and you know, everyone else gets to enjoy the party. You know, even when you're DJing like a wedding and stuff, it's like you don't get a lot out of it, as, you know, when you're in the club as much as everyone else. But at the station, to have people come up to interview you, we always wanted to make sure that the people were very music passionate about music as well as we were, and that there was some common ground, and it would provide good conversation, and like, you know, we would get educated a little bit too, and it's just nice to have the camaraderie of Tom and I to go back and forth, and then have a third person to kind of interject with, and so yeah, that's my take on interviewing. It's kind of, we feed off it. We're like two vampires.
Who was the first interview that you guys did, and how did it, and how was your anxiety level doing that?
I think, Dill, was it your dad?
That's cheating. Having Bernie on is cheating. Because Bernie, you know, Bernie.
Bernie rocks a John Lennon anniversary of his death night, where we just blasted John songs and Beatles tunes, and it was awesome.
So Sergeant Pepper took you by.
I can't remember. Was it Stuart Berman?
We had, I think it was Stuart Berman. Yeah, I think it was.
May have been Stu. Stu was a local legend and Toronto expat and music critic for Pitchfork and Rolling Stone. And
wow, that goes back a bit, yeah.
Yeah, he's an author as well. So yeah, he's a crazy encyclopedia of music. So he could have his own show that would eclipse all of our shows.
Oh, I absolutely.
But he's passed on it so far.
But the... But bringing them on, though, like to Tom, the anxiety level, because you've never done any interviews before.
No, I haven't. I've never interviewed people. I've been on the other side, which is, I guess, a totally different world, but never actually interviewing someone. But when it comes to music, it's just, to me, again, the whole point of the original idea for the show is I enjoy talking about music. And so that's not uncomfortable for me.
Right.
No matter who it is. Maybe that would change in a really ridiculous situation or guess, but I just really enjoy asking people and finding out what got them into it, where they're at, you know, how it changed their life. Those things are just, it doesn't make me feel nervous or uncomfortable because I truly want to know the answer.
Is the time that you're doing on the air, it's 2 hours. Would you guys like to be on the air longer, or is it just like family constraints? Because I mean, all of us have everyone in our lives, we have families, we have jobs, we have all the other things. Would you like to do more time on the air or less? Don't worry about this. Your family's not going to hear that you want to stay away from them.
the show actually started, it was 8 to 9, and then we realized that it was over before it started. And the gentleman just that came after us, the first couple shows, started not coming. Yeah. So then we would have, and then the college would close at 10. So it kind of worked out that we would just go, okay, let's just do 8 to 9:30 or 8 to 10. And then we talked to Bri Webb, the station manager, and he said, sure, you guys could have it until 10. And the other cool thing about the jukebox portion of the central computer there is that afterwards you can, until midnight, I could program the next batch of songs.
Yeah.
So in actuality, every Pure Phrase radio show went from 8 to midnight.
Because you're messing with the system. Radio. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's not such a bad thing to do. I think everyone needs to have a little bit of a playlist kind of like vibe, if you know, so it's just not pulling it totally random from the computer. So that's not such a bad thing. Tell me about the Elliot Broud interview.
Should we blast some Elliot Broud before we start talking about them?
I will. I'm going to spin some Elliot Broud right now here on Steel City Music.
Let's
Okay, we're back for
listen to
Little City Music.
Listen to him go, back, Tom.
Yeah, this is how I do it.
Yeah.
So you're listening to The Dill on Steel City Music. I have here Gunner and Tom Flood.
You know what? I think this is my idea that I've already pitched to some of the other other show hosts that have been at the station for a while. Is that you do an hour of my show and I'll do an hour of your show, and it'll be the original pirate radio that I used to do back in C-101 days, where I would just go on the air and just take over everything, and you know, it was a lot of fun. But you guys are more than welcome to do an hour of Steel City Music. I got enough time here to fill, so you guys can take an hour whenever you want it. But I was going to ask you guys, there's sometimes you guys just can't make it up to do the show. Like you've done some and then, you know, whatever responsibilities and everything. But what was it like? How did it feel the other night getting back on the air?
So we've had with COVID, we've had so many ups and downs personally and professionally and all that kind of stuff, just like everyone else has.
Yeah.
But right off the bat, we felt, because since we had made a couple interviews before remote, that we could probably do it over Zoom and we could do it over the phone. So we quickly did, because I have a recording studio in my basement because I'm a recording artist myself.
He says this, folks, but he's disappearing on the phone on me.
I will say one thing before Dill comes back, is that when COVID hit and we weren't allowed to go back into studio, it took Dill all of 15 minutes to get this going again.
No doubt.
And so he is so driven with that, with these kinds of things, that he was lining up guests that you kind of mentioned earlier, and booking these things immediately. And Dylan's got a great network of people that he knows through the years and through Hamilton as well. And it was kind of like the show's going to just keep going, where I was kind of like, okay, we'll probably be done for a little bit and we'll see you next year. And that was the exact opposite.
I think that's why the two of you guys work well together, because you do feed off of one another.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You know, because you can hear it. You can hear it when you guys are doing your show.
And if it wasn't for Tom, I wouldn't have the motivation, you know, like, and vice versa, I guess. Like, And I'll be chatting with somebody, like I'll be talking with Elliot Rude and just on the street, like we're neighbors, I'll be texting with Brian from Holy F or whoever we had on our, like Brendan Canning from VSS. And it was just, hey, you know, we should, you want to be on the show? I'll give you a call. I can get you an interview on the radio. So we were, it was just, you know, a lot of times it happens spontaneously.
Yeah.
But then I would have to, I've always been pretty good at following through with things, because I just, as I'm just to be a man of my word. Right? stuff like that. Like, hey, we should make a record together. Yeah, totally. Okay, see you later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, like, yeah,
oh, it just kind of goes by the wayside.
I will never see me. And everyone, you're listening to Steel City Music here. I'm your host, Gunner. And this is Tom and Dill from Pure Phase Radio. You can catch them Monday nights from 8 till 10 on the 101.5 FM, The Hawk. And just on a side note, Tom and Dill, I had a conversation with Dylan last year. I can't remember the show we were at. We were at This Ain't Hollywood. Dylan, you walked up to me and said, hey, you know, this thing is really good, but, you know, I'm doing a video and I can't, because I paid you a compliment on the last bit of the Dill, the last release that you put out on one of the songs. And I said, it was really good. And you said, I can't, why is it that I can't get more people to look at this video and the song? And I said to you, because there's no cats in it. People love cats. Tom, I told him this. I said, people love cats. You put a cat in something, and that's all they'll do is they'll just look at this cat. They may not pay it. They'll pay attention to the song like a little bit, but it's all about the cat. And I said to you, and you said the next day, you said, you have to remind me about this later. And I did. I messaged you. I said, the cat video. You have to get on the cat video. And I never heard anything more about the cat video because I thought, is Tom doing the cat video with him? Like, who's doing the cat video? Now, did
Tom
the cat
really dressed up as a cat?
Well, yeah, because this is why I'm bringing it up. Is like, Tom, were you involved with the making of this cat video? Is there any way we can get the cat video back?
Actually, yeah. Let's Tom, go ahead. Tell him what we've made.
Oh, you did do a cat video. Okay.
We did do a video.
Okay.
We're working on another one, but we've done one at this point, and for a song off Dill's record, Stop Time.
Okay.
Which is a great kind of, I don't know if you know it, but it's a great kind of like 50s doo-wop ballad.
With Max from the Arkells, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's really in the sweet spot or wheelhouse, whatever you want to say, of the music I love. But so we actually did one of those, and we did it on a bike. So it was, the idea was to kind of follow Dill through his neighborhoods and kind of take a nostalgic look on a bicycle, and I was on the bike too, so it was all done on bikes. I do a little bit of kind of work around bicycles and safety, so it kind of all worked pretty well together. I think, hey, Dill?
Yeah.
Happy with the output?
I love it. It was great. It was totally fit the vibe of the song, and it was just a travel video. And then, I, out of the blue, I talked to so I have another video I want to do with you. You know, the poor Tom, like, he gets sucked into all my weird ideas. the newest one might be the weirdest.
Okay.
So, Dill, I don't want to say much about it. I'll let you, if you want to divulge anything, but I won't be any person to give it away.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll just say it then. Well, I thought for a while it'd be good to do a, like, remember the Dancing Man video, Jesse Lanza? Lee Skinner did a was a dancing guy in town.
Jed,
yeah.
Yeah,
he famously got put into a music video by Hamilton electronic artist Jesse Lanza. It's incredible. It's the whole video is just following him around with several different camera angles, him dancing throughout downtown Hamilton. I kind of had an idea of something, a mashup between that one and a Daft Punk video where there's a dog. It's a Spike Jonze video where a dog goes into a porn store and tries to buy food. You know, it's like a man, but with a dog's mask.
Remember
this video? I can't remember the exact song.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a trench coat and it's kind of grainy and it's like, it looks like film. And there's talking. It's like during the song, like there's the dialogue. Anyways, So I acquired a monkey mask and I just wanted to be like a Neanderthalic, like part of me is like a Neanderthal too.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd, like, you know, maybe Tom can film me walking around and just being an idiot with a mask on, and add to one of my new songs, to make a video for it. So we have most of it done. We're just waiting on the, it's with the, we have one more shot to do before I can edit it and put it out. But, so yeah, so it's not a cat video, but it's a monkey video.
It's a monkey video. Okay, then. All right. Well, I know what I know. I know that we're all being crushed by animal videos. We can't get any attention anywhere. So you're going to have to, you know, like, put a cat in it. But the monkey thing sounds just as good.
Well, yeah. I only have like four more video ideas before I stop in general, because my old band Cowlick with Jackson, shout out to Axon Jackson, whatever he is out there. We did a video for a song called Sex, actually. Mm-hmm. And we tried to do a sex video with actors in a hotel room, and we actually pulled it off. And we're kind of in this other room playing music while there's people in the next door.
Sure.
I was like, this is going to go viral for sure. And I think it got a couple thousand views. And then so ages later, that didn't work. So ages later, I did a video with my daughter called for a new song I had for my new album. But it was an unboxing video, because unboxing is a huge craze for the kids. So okay, here's my present, here's my thing, let's see what's inside this box. And then they open it up and here's the reveal. But you know, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, they love it. They just watch people open presents. Like, they'll do it for hours on YouTube. So we made a video called Conflict of Interest, so during the unboxing, my daughter says, before I open it, here's my dad's stupid video.
I remember that. That was great. I like that.
And then my song pops in, and you see my whole video. Yeah. And then when my video ends, then you get to see the reveal of what's in this box. So it's like, I was like, that's going to be a great sneaky way to go viral. And that did not work either. Baby cat video, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Sleep for a week.
that's it for you. Well, Tom, Bill, this is the kind of stuff that I think that the listener, and I know I appreciate, is the storytelling behind how you guys do things as far as music videos go and music and your guests, that sort of thing. So I think that's what I enjoy most about the Pure Phase, is that you guys both bring some knowledge of not just the actual how a song sounds, but the sociology behind the song and the video, that's that sort of culture.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's what's, I guess, really interesting. And to people that talk so much about music like yourself, you try to look deeper than just, you know, sometimes the surface level, because you've been talking about these things for so long.
Yeah. So. Hey, guys, thanks for taking the time out of your day to chat with us here on Steel City Music. And once again, folks, we look forward on Mondays from 8 till 10, Pure Phase Radio with Dylan and Tom. And also, fairly soon, the radio station will be archiving the shows. But if you miss a show, go to steelcitymusic.ca, and I'll be loading up their show on my site until we get things going at Mohawk at the Hawk Mohawk College.
You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're listening to a Steel City Music Retro Hour.
Hey, howdy, folks. Gunnar here. You're listening to Steel City Music as heard on The Hawk every Friday from 12 p.m. till 7 p.m. My next guest is somewhat unique and different in the sense that, yeah, he's a radio show host, but he also does live improv electronic music. The new show, it's fairly new, folks. It's called Current Fantasy here on The Hawk, and you can tune us in at 101.5 FM. And it's on every Friday night at 11 p.m. Sir, thank you for taking the time out of your day to chat with me. It's Jeff Thoraf Heisholt. Did I say all of that right? Was there enough German inflection as I said that, or was there Dutch? How am I saying that, Jeff?
I guess aside from the Jeff, the other two names are Norwegian.
So it's a Norwegian thing, yeah, that we're doing. Because the reason why I say it that way and I ask it is that my last name is Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly one of the most generic, boring names you're ever going to have. And then you have
the best band names out there.
You're absolutely right, sir. Absolutely right. Yeah. But you have this big, beautiful sounding name. And I'm like, why can't I have that?
Yeah, just, you know, Norwegian roots. My middle name, the middle name is Thoralf.
Thoralf.
Thoralf. Pronounce it, or okay. You know, Thor.
Okay. So I like, yeah, the Thoralf. Say your full name if you were Norwegian for us. Come on, do it. Do it.
It took me a long time. I grew up saying Heisholt, but I worked on a cruise ship 20 years ago,
right,
and I was told that it was Heisholt, so it would be Jeff Thoralf Heisholt.
Oh, see, that sounds way better than Smith, dude. Jamie Smith just sucks, dude, compared to that name. Hey, man, thanks for taking the time to chat with me right now. On another note, I've been enjoying, while I'm doing stuff in my office, I flip over and you've been doing these live sessions you've been posting up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell us about that. Tell us about the live sessions that you're putting up and the style of music that you're putting out there.
So, you know, I've been doing Current Fantasy for just over a year now, and when, you know, all the gigs went away,
right,
I had a chance. I was able to set my stuff up kind of permanently in one spot, and you know, it's kind of like the only people I could play with was you know, my drum machines and such. So I kind of started at it, and
yeah,
just started making music, and one day it sounded good to me. And I was like, "Ah, what the heck? I'm gonna stream this. Never really streamed it before."
Sure.
And just turned on Facebook and went at it for 20 something minutes. And somebody commented and they said, "Hey, that's great, you know, for my morning, for getting my kids going and doing some work." And they're like, "How about tomorrow again at 10 o'clock?" And I was like, "All right,
cool."
And so I've done that every day except Sundays. right. since the middle of April.
Yeah, you know, it's fun to tune in. Like, I click on the Facebook. I'm like, oh, he's manipulating and layering sounds again. Cool, you know. And I actually turn it up and I just start my day. Like, and I check back in and look. I'm like, oh yeah. And it sounds it's great for me to get things done, right? You know, because I'm trying to get you're trying to like concentrate on something, and then all of a sudden, you know. You get distracted quite easily, but I find when I'm listening to you, I get caught up in what you're doing. I'm like, yeah.
Well, I mean, I get caught up as well. It's really, you know, it's like for me, I can start my day at 10 o'clock with getting, you know, it's like I get lost in it. This morning I was going, like, I just finished. I'm still kind of sweating from doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and I looked at the clock and I was like, oh, it's, you know, it's like 5 to 11.
Well, gotta wrap it up. To better illustrate or to give someone an idea for the listener on what you're doing and how you're doing, describe the setup, because when I click on Facebook, this is what I'm seeing. Yeah, you're drinking a coffee. You're enjoying your coffee. And then there's like all of this gear that a lot of us don't have any comprehension on. I see some keyboards when I'm looking at it. But then, honestly, there's a lot of straight up wires running from different machinery. At one point, I think you're going to launch a rocket. I'm not sure. Or you're starting up a new telecommunications corporation here in Canada, which I don't mind.
It does look like it looks like, you know, it's like I'm patching phone calls.
Yeah.
Through to 1950.
Yeah. Like, is it a bunch of like sequencers and old school synthesizers that you're working with? Or how does this, like, what is the setup for the listener to describe?
So what it is it's all kind of based around, a modular synthesizer that I've been building over the last couple of years. And by modular, it's different pieces of the synthesizer. It's kind of like if you combine synths with Lego.
Right.
And so you can get your different pieces and piece it together, customize it the way you want. So within the big stack, there's oscillators, which produce the sound, filters, effects, sequencers, drum synthesizers, there's mixers, there's delay units, reverb, there's lots more oscillators, and there's, right. you know, strange utility functions, but it's all powered together in the back, but none of the connections are made anywhere aside from on the front, so you have to patch it through yourself. You have to take the sound source and then control it with a filter and an envelope to it to add decay and sustain, then add some effects, and then layer that with a couple more of them.
And you're doing all of this from a beginning point to a middle point to an end point. You're constantly changing it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, playing the system. I could set it up so it kind of just went on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm setting the parameters and then controlling them.
Well, that leaves you a lot more room to improvise and to change what's you're feeding off of what you just did. It's not like you're going to do something note for note every time. You're going to have an idea, nope. but you're always going to improvise.
I could never recreate it either if I tried.
Yeah. But you'd have to take one of those plugs and stick it in your ear, buddy.
Right. Doesn't feel good.
That's so funny. I'm talking to Jeff Todorov Heisholt. Did I do that right? No.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
If
whatever.
You put an attempt in, then that's correct.
All right, then. He has a show every Friday night at 11 p.m. Here on The Hawk at 101.5. TheHawk.ca. You can tune in online. It's live improv, electronic music, and he does that for an hour. Let's talk about some of the influences that you have for doing this type of layering of music. Where do you, like, how do you draw your influence?